still watching the clock. Well, it didn't change, but I guess I did. 'Cause no, I gotta leave now, or I'll never go. And I'm afraid to say I do not know anymore what it's like to be alone. But I'm gonna be strong and carry on, 'cause I know somewhere inside me I'm still breathing.
Good morning, UI Productions.
Hello, Scott. It's John Frame here. How are you?
Good, John. How's it going?
Great.
Nice to hear from you.
And you? You're sounding well?
Yeah, doing all right this fine rainy morning here.
Coincidentally, this is what we've been getting in Brisbane, hey? And like you would have known the drought that we had. Like, it's still the drought, of course, here on the East Coast, but yeah, we need the rain. We had the pleasure of your company here in Brisbane on the 1st of November last year, and you had a wonderful performance to too few people, I thought. But at the Healer, it's a nice place to play.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Healer a lot. I mean, we don't have like a venue like that that I've played at least here in the U.S. I mean, it's just so the sound system was just incredible, and you know, even though the audience wasn't, you know, packed, screaming, climbing up the walls, starting a mosh pit, I mean, they were listening, and I really enjoyed that venue. That was one of my favorite shows I did while touring down in Australia. So I liked the Healer a lot.
Excellent. You and your partner had driven all the way up from Sydney as well to perform here. So it's hard work, but do you think that you got enough of a rewarding personal experience out of being in Australia for that couple of weeks?
Absolutely. I think it was as much, you know, business rewarding, you know, spreading the fan base as much as it was personally, just having more of a global view of, you know, LGBT politics, speaking to the people, getting to know more of like the history of Australia. You know, we don't learn a lot about it here in the U.S. in our history books. So, I mean, it's very interesting for me to really go back and kind of relearn the history of Australia and how it started and, you know, how the cities kind of spread. And each city was so different. I mean, I went to Melbourne, Sydney, and Brisbane, and drove up from Sydney to Brisbane. So we stopped in these little beach towns, and I really got the sense of kind of, you know, life in Australia beyond the city, which was good to see.
In November, when the snow started to fall, children ran around home from the school, and the pool where you learned to swim is now shallow, and the snow is falling gently against the window. In November, when the sky is a bit more gray and the hours get shorter every day, and the way that you walk is not so easy. There's rain on the sea, winds can't sweep anything away, which is a tragedy you can lose even if you don't play. In November, when the clothes are piled, summer dreams are all shoved away, and you bundle up when you go outside. And all for he wants to die, winds can't sweep anything away, which says a tragedy is you can lose even if you don't play. In November, when the rain doesn't rain anymore, and the only way to even score is to pretend you were that way before. In November, in November, November.
Your brand new CD has come out called Some Company, and what I particularly like about this CD as well is that it's exactly the same sort of performance as we enjoyed at the Healer. it's you with piano.
Yeah, this album we decided to, you know, took a look at kind of my past, and first album I did was just piano, second album had a full band, and I found myself the songs this time around really were created more for just the piano, because in my music the piano takes such a forward voice in the music, and I didn't want to have to hide it behind drums, have to hide it behind the bass, behind it behind other instruments. So this album was supposed to kind of capture that live feeling, exactly as you're saying, like it was at the Healer, only in the studio. But I didn't want it very polished. I didn't want it very studio sounding. So we really went for the kind of intimate, raw experience on this recording.
Mm-hmm. But it's still, it's exceptionally carefully recorded. But but it's still, like, it seems to me that you're not multi-tracking. I assume that you were singing and playing always.
Always. That's the way I mean, even the sound engineers will tell me, they say it's easier for us if you just, you know, record the piano, we'll go back and record the voice. And I say, if I'd never play a song like that, why would I play it like that to record on the album, is what I say. I mean, for me, it all happens spontaneous. The piano plays off the voice plays off the piano. If every other time I'm playing it together, when I'm actually putting on the album, supposed to represent the song, why would I change it and do it separately? So you're right, I do record it all together.
Yeah.
To the engineer's dismay sometimes.
Yeah. This is what I like about the single that you've put out, the promotional single, which includes the title track. That has three of the songs that were recorded at the Healer.
That's
and
right.
I think the people who buy the single, they'll be impressed in the first place by the studio recordings because they are more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
When they hear the live recording, they hear the extra spark of the fact that it's all happening live.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know it's exactly you. That's what you sound like.
Thank you. Maybe I talk too much. Maybe you don't talk enough. One of us is surely hiding something here. Maybe I'm strong enough. Maybe I act too tough. But the water we've been swimming in is raining fast, but hold on tight. I won't feel you, but I'll bring you to the top. Then I won't come near you till we stop these games. Puddles of my mind. Maybe it's the best for us. Maybe we should discuss the great alternative to wedding bells and wishing wells. And what the hell? Well, it can't always be like fairy tales that we used to believe in. Sooner or later, time's gonna run out. Can't always be like fairy tales that we used to believe in. Sooner or later, time's gonna run out. History of me, do you see? The storms ruin silently. Yeah, the storms ruin silently. the stones ruin silently in the puddles of my mind. Thank you.
In my email to your manager, Malcolm?
Mm-hmm. Malcolm?
I said, what I get from hearing you and piano is what I enjoy about hearing Morrissey with the Smiths, or Morrissey mm-hmm. with his backing band, but especially with the Smiths, because Johnny Marr had a whole idea of where the music was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But for Morrissey, he had a clear focus for his lyrics and his melody,
mm-hmm.
and they had a world of their own, but when they came together, the world moved. Hey.
Absolutely.
So because I've heard the songs from the live recording so often, I feel as if I know this whole album already. There are a few extras.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what I play now, I mean, it all depends. I'm trying to think like the Healer. I mean, since I was testing a lot of new material out, most likely the music I've been playing and touring around with the past 2 years has wound up on the recording. And then, you know, parts of me, I have about, you know, 20 new songs I want to do on another album, and I'm starting to plan that. You know, my manager's like, we have to take care of this album first. You know, I'm already talking about going back into the studio in April. I'm thinking about doing a cover album, you know, by, you know, a bunch of artists that I really enjoy. So I'm definitely, you know, so excited to put this album out. I've been writing these songs for about 2 years. So a lot of what I play is usually what I'm writing at the time.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, you do a cover version of Walking in Memphis, which you did live here as well.
Uh-huh.
And I like the way at the very end of the album, there's the hidden track with a bit of chat that you took out of the live show as
well. Yeah. Well, some of the jolt you awake if you fall asleep. So, yeah, we put on some, you know, just me blabbing on. I like to talk a lot in concert, as you know. And I would just put on like, some random story I was telling about highway signs and these threats that God is going to take his wrath out. But, I mean, it's on these highway signs that you drive by in your truck. So it's just it's a funny thing I saw. I guess I was just blabbing on about it between a couple songs. So it wound up on the album as a hidden track. Yeah.
And I do a lot of driving in the States, as you call them. And one of the things I like to do, I like to look at the billboards a lot. And lately it's interesting. I don't know if it's happening here as much, but we're getting some advertising campaigns that God's putting out. Have you seen these at all? That God's on these little message boards? And I always think it's interesting. He's got some really good PR people working for him. And I was in Jacksonville, Florida, first one I saw, and it said, "You think it's hot here? God." And I just think we should get some dialogue going. I was picturing the other side of the highway. We could, you know, Satan's people should get in on here. The devil should be in on it. And say, you know, like, "You think you got a good tan here, Satan?" Get some conversation going, right? And my favorite one I saw was in Indiana, in the middle of nowhere. And I kid you not, it said, "Keep using my name in vain, and I'll make rush hour traffic longer. God." Because, of course, God would have nothing better to do than worry about rush hour traffic. We've got good PR people. What are you going to do? Thank you so much. I'm going to do a cover song for you now. In case you don't know these originals, but you can. Shameless self-plug, take one. I do have CDs for sale at the door tonight, as does Metaphor. So check it out. Support independent music.
Are you getting any feedback at all from people who've heard the live songs? Has anyone commented?
Because it was just released, I haven't heard too much. I've heard that a lot of people, I guess, were waiting for some live songs. A lot of people were hoping this album would be a live album. The people who see me live say it's just this is very different.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that a lot of people are happy that even though the new album is all studio, there's this other option to kind of get a sense of what I'm like live for the people who, you know, have not gotten out to see me or if I'm not touring in their area. Mm-hmm. So I think the response so far has been pretty well received. I think people were a little curious, you know, because a lot of times my music's really dark. It's very kind of sad. And, you know, to hear the live and I'm just like going on and on, they realize I'm generally a happy person, which they don't often realize sometimes. So I think for some people it's kind of been a little eye-opener into, you know, another aspect of my, you know, performance.
Good, good. Because you do say in the very small liner notes on the CD that you want it to seem like a personal experience. The only thing separating you from the audience is the fact that it's been digitally recorded, and you're there holding their hand in the dark as they listen to the whole album.
Uh-huh, exactly. I wanted the whole feel. The feel I was going for is, as I was recording it, I imagined a listener, you know, whoever they were, just that one listener in the corner of the room just kind of listening. That's the feeling I was going for. I didn't want this big kind of, you know, stage in there far off in like the back seats, you know, just trying to get a glimpse. I wanted them right there, almost underneath the piano, you know, just to hear it all. I wanted that feeling that they are right in on the music. They're right part of the process, not just watching it.
Yeah. And it's the wonderful thing about pianos in particular, hey, the way that a well-recorded acoustic piano just sounds beautiful. The stereo wraps right around your head.
Yeah, I just I prefer the piano over using a keyboard whenever I can for recording purposes, especially. And the piano for this recording was just absolutely just a beautiful piano, a great sound, was just really working with me on the day I played it. Thank you.
but hey, take care. Have a nice day. Have yourself a nice day. Especially not having you around. But maybe young, but I'm old enough to be left playing tug of war. You'll be left playing tug of war. You'll be left playing tug of war with a rope I finally learned to let.
I enjoyed Tug of War from the live show, and it's great to hear that in the studio recording.
Uh-huh.
Lovely and clear.
Thank you.
And I like Treehouse, which I hadn't heard before. It's a beautiful song.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't play that one live a lot. Treehouse was actually one of the songs I had to really think about if I wanted it on there. This is such a heavy song. It's about my family and kind of the breaking up of my family. My family's had a lot of difficulties staying together, just, you know, besides his parents, you know, my brother and I have had very severed ties, and to put Treehouse on there was really just for me hoping that people could identify and perhaps some of this family tension, and it's more, it's almost like a black and white photo is what I envision the song to be, where you're just kind of looking back, remembering some good, remembering a lot of bad sometimes. So I put Treehouse on there. It's one of the heavier songs on the album, I'd say.
Just mom and us kids. Wasn't wasn't something you didn't do it in. It was only when the bottle touched your lips. Well, even when you were home, somehow still felt like I was alone. I suppose you had your own problems then. Guess we all did. Oh, and Dad, yeah, I know we've had our differences for so many years. And I know just how sorry you are for causing so many tears. Just thought you should know I'm learning to forgive you. Quiet one, loved hearing jokes, sucked at telling one. But boy, we had a lot of fun, waking up to watch Dukes of Hazzard at dawn. Oh, I still remember the first day they brought you home. Flew you in on a plane, and I loved you like you were my own. Oh, and sis, yeah, I know we've had our differences. I'll be in mild. And I know just how sorry you are for saying you're not my real brother anyway. Just thought you should know I forgive you. To college, I didn't write, no, I didn't call, just needed some time to get away. But I thought of you all of the time, that empty house by yourself. I wondered if that silence was slowly driving you insane. Whoa. We've had our differences, some more than most. And I know just how sorry you are for locking the door when I was 10 and only felt safe lying next to you. And just so you know, wanted a tree house, but I didn't know how to build one. Was never too good at building anything. I listen to the wind of my soul. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows. I've sat up on the setting sun, yeah, But never, 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 I never wanted what I want. No, never, never, never. I listen to my words, but they fall far below. I let my music take me where my heart wants to go. I've swam upon the devil's lake, yeah, but never, 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 I'll never make the same mistake. No, never, never, never.
You start off with a fine Cat Stevens cover, The Wind, but it's a quickie.
Yeah, I love Cat Stevens. I was happy to put the song on there. We actually opened the album with the song, so I just thought, what a beautiful, simple, it's a minute and a half, it says it all, and I said, I want that as the first song, and it is.
Yep. So it seems you got like album of the year, like male album of the year last year through outmusic.com. You've obviously then got either good reason to expect that people will give you strong support with this album, or you'll think you've got something to live up to, but I really think that this is stronger than your previous CD. Do you feel that yourself?
In many ways, I appreciate that. In many ways, I think it is. I think the songwriting's more mature. I think my voice is settled in a little bit. I would say that the music on this CD is probably the most mature I've put out so far as just really honing down my style. I feel like this album best represents my style, whereas the previous albums have kind of been hit or miss with certain songs. This album, the way it flows for me, it really has come to just be very close to what I feel as my style has developed, where it's not just ballads and it's not just fast. And, you know, you go from a song like Tug of War into In November, which is this furious wind racing song. And I think the album as a whole, I'd agree with you. I think it is my best work so far, and I'm hoping to get a good response. You know, you never know. Fingers crossed. But, you know, I'm really hoping to get a good response because I really poured a lot of myself into this album.
If you found out today, really be your last, would you try to bargain with God? Would you take the chance, grab hold of the hands, family and friends, tell them all just what they meant? Do you know what to say? Do you know what to do when they stared at you wide-eyed and laughing and saying, hey, are you crazy, man? I don't have time for this. Come on, I'm gonna miss my favorite show. Lately I find nobody's got the time to even say hello. It's nice to see you, but I gotta go, and just wanna find someone not always on the run. We'll sit down for a while, remember what it's like to smile. Well, now I'm heading south, gonna learn to shut my mouth and listen to the people and the places and their stories before I turn to judge. Then I will see the crutch. I've been leaning on far too long, gotta learn to stand on my own. I'll be the first to admit I don't know exactly how to slow down like a never-ending song, but it won't be long till I'm counting every breath and every heartbeat. Would you like to join me? So could you some company? Just the other day, when walking with a friend downtown Boston, where we saw a homeless man begging for spare change, just trying to feed his kids. When I bent down to give a dime, my friend just shook his head. Come on, Scott, don't you know this guy's just gonna go get himself all liquored up, spend the night drinking anyway? Well, I just don't buy that line. Besides, for me, it's just a dime. And what about the chance that this money makes it? Truth some people never wanna know. admit I don't know exactly how to slow down. Like a never-ending song, but it won't be long till I'm counting every breath and every heartbeat. Would you like to join me? Sure could use some company. The streets tell everyone I meet that I love them, and I know that they could be anything they want, anything they dream. All it takes is a dream to send you flying, and all I want now is to renounce who I've been in hopes that I'll become a better person. God knows we all could be one, we all could be.
A slight aside, because this lets you then talk some bisexual issues. Have you seen the film Far From Heaven?
I have not. No, I've heard about it. I have not seen it.
Okay, because the character played by Dennis Quaid, he doesn't identify as bisexual. It seems like he's been happily married after having fooled around with men when he was younger, in his teenage years. He's been happily married with a couple of kids, and he's been throwing everything into his work and his commitment and his, you know, like supporting his family. But he's reached his early 40s and he's decided that he can't bottle up his attraction for men anymore. And so this then creates a problem within the family. But he's a good man who's just being forced to deal with the fact that he's attracted to men. And I was saying in a comment that I made, this does happen occasionally to gay men who have been married because that was the convenient thing to do. And when they fell in love with a man, you know, properly fell in love, it was a mind-blowing experience. And I put in my review, I say, this won't happen for bisexuals. Because I would expect bisexuals, when they fall in love with a woman, that same head over heels, like the universe is spinning thing happens for them. Unless it just means it only happens with specific people in your life.
I think it's so hard. I think it's so easy to generalize sometimes, and I do it. And I guess I'm always wary of generalizations because there'll always be exceptions. So for me, I mean, I think it could happen to some bisexuals. I mean, if you think about, you know, what if we have a man who is attracted to women for 40 years and then he discovers he's attracted to men? It doesn't necessarily mean that he was never attracted to women.
Yeah.
Maybe he still is. Maybe he's not anymore. But the fact that he was suggests some sort of bisexuality, and that now he's coming to terms with more of the less accepted part of his sexuality, which is his homosexuality. So I think it really depends on the person, depends on their upbringing, culture, you know, religion. There are just so many messages that play a part into oppression and shame and self-denial. So I think more than anything, you know, it's about the person more than their sexual orientation.
Yeah.
But I will check out that movie. That sounds interesting.
Good. Yeah, because when he tells his wife, there's a critical situation where he sits down and the way that he tells her about this experience that he's going through, I think it's pretty important. But the movie Liquid Sky that was made probably 20, 25 years ago, fabulous movie, quite alternative, like comedy, music, science fiction. There's a statement there where a man, he walks past a woman while the woman's friend, her girlfriend, virtually, But this man says to her,
"Who are you?"
"I live here."
"Are you her girlfriend?"
"What difference does it make?"
"Just curious. You like girls better than boys?"
"I'm always curious about people who have to make those kind of sexual definitions."
"What do you mean?"
"Homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual. Whether or not I like someone doesn't depend on what kind of genitals they have. As long as I find them attractive, don't you think?"
Right. Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely.
But I think that should apply to the sort of music you like as well.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't matter about the sexuality of the person. It's a matter of whether you like the music or not.
Absolutely. That is an excellent analogy. I would agree.
From trying, said you'd wait, give me some space. But what do I do now that you sneak past the guards? Because I still don't trust just anyone, 'cause they asked me to, and that's why I told you. You know it's not too late if you want to run. Well, you said don't play it dumb, not going anywhere without you. A good friend of mine once was to tell me you gotta learn how to think less and feel a little more. Well, hey, that's nice, but I don't think I'd like that, 'cause I don't like what I'm not expecting. Well, I know that you can't win them all, and sometimes, yeah, you gotta take a fall to get up again. And that's why I asked you then, will you still be here when all is said and done? You said don't play dumb, not going anywhere without you. Yeah. Well, all I know is when I see you, smile spreads across my face. It's been too long since I felt this, like an unexpected kiss while I'm sleeping. And I open my eyes and you're staring down at me, laughing and saying, you know I'm sorry, you just looked too beautiful. Careful not to overstep our boundaries. I said, well, hey, slow down. You just turn around, yeah, and sigh. Well, hon, we're barely moving. Well, I know that it's a bit much, that the slightest touch can send me whirling. It sends me swirling down the drain. But I told you from the start that I've got an imprisoned heart, and it's staying that way, lest there's something you can say to change my mind. Oh. All I know is when I see you, smile spreads across my face. It's been too long since I felt this, like an unexpected kiss while I'm
eyes, and you're staring down at me, laughing and saying, you know I'm sorry, you just look too beautiful. Beautiful. That doesn't sound like fun. Well then, won't blame you if you're dumb. You just looked at me and said, don't play it dumb. I'm not going anywhere without you. Not going anywhere without you.
You're launching the CD in 2 days' time in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days later in New York, then Boston, back home to Charleston, Saratoga, Canton, Rochester, Ithaca. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I've been resting up for the past month or so. After I got back from Australia, you know, I've been traveling for so long before I went to Australia. And then the 3 weeks in Australia tired me down a little bit. So, you know, I took some time off, and I'm ready to go on the road. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to put the CD out and really get it to people. So I am ready to tour.
And what happens if you become a star? An honest-to-God
star. What
happens
if I become a star? I'm very present-oriented. I have no idea if that happens, and it's not something I'm particularly aiming for or particularly avoiding. If that happens, I have to deal with it when it comes. You know, a popular question that, you know, sometimes people ask in interviews is, you know, do you think that this album will be your breakthrough album, or where do you see yourself in 10 years? And I always say, hopefully happy enough that I won't have to be worried about where I'll be in the next 10 years. I'm very present-oriented, so that's the best response I can answer. If I become a star, we'll see what happens when I become a star.
Yeah. I like that Peter Gabriel, probably nearly 20 years after he had his hit single, like his album, like that was suddenly popular. So, and he was asked by someone in an interview that I saw on TV, what's it like to be on Top of the Pops? Because he'd already been around for about 15 or 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, I'm today's flavor. Next week will be someone else.
Yep. It's a quick business. You can't get too comfortable in any seat you get. That's what I think.
Yep. But good music shouldn't ever go out of fashion in people's hearts. And that's what I assume most people will get out of listening to Scott Friedman with Some Company. And they can go to your website, which is Scott with a K, scottfriedman.com.
Yep, that's SKOTTFREEDMAN.com.
Great. And I like the way also you left in the promotion for Metaphor. You mentioned Metaphor.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, they're editing it out, and I said, you know what, just leave it in. I said, "What? Who's that hurting?" So, yeah, they wound up on the CD. I said something about you can buy their CDs, so a little bonus to that group. I mean, they were just so great to me, and just what a wonderful bunch of women. I really enjoyed playing with them.
Good on you. Thank you very much for having a chat to us, Scott. And, yeah, hope you do go from strength to strength, and you do get enough of an impetus to come back here and play, and I'll make sure that we drum up more people to come and see you this time, too.
That'd be excellent. I'm thinking about making a return next January, so get ready. I might be coming back sooner than you think.
Good on you, Scott. look after yourself. Say hello to Malcolm and give my love to your partner.
Will do. Take care. It's nice talking to you.
And you again. Bye, Scott.
Bye.